Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Good morning. My name is Mark, and happy Moon Festival. So last week we started a new series called The Heart of Champion, and last week Pastor Bruce talked about Barnabas, how he is a maker of a champion. And we talk about before a champion is formed, someone needs to raise up to train the champion to be a coach. So I hope that we catch that. I call that a lot. I feel like Stephen Curry, I'm not his fan. I'm from Dallas, so I'm a Luka fan. But, for Luka, I'm pretty sure he's got some coaches and trainers and mentors to be there for him before he became a star. And I feel like discipleship is like that, right? Like, it's not about us, it's about other people. How can we make other people make disciples that make disciples that make disciples? And I think that's what we wanna do. We have a long way to go, but that doesn't mean we stop doing what we do. And today I just wanna talk about Book of Joshua, how living in peace is so essential for leaders, for people who wanna have a champion's heart. So Joshua is being instructed to take the people to the promised land. But only one thing is, his mentor, Moses, died. one of the greatest people in the Bible, or definitely in the Old Testament, Moses died. So Moses failed to do the things that Joshua was supposed to do. And then God is the one that came to Joshua and said, "You, Joshua, you are going to take these people into the promised land, and I'll be with you as I was with Moses." I don't know about you, when you read that verse, it's a great picture. You said you will be with me as you were with Moses, but Moses is dead, and we are not in the promised land. I don't know how comforting that would be when I heard that. So I kind of put myself in Joshua's shoes that, Lord, I'm not sure what you're talking about. You're asking me to take these people, 2 million people, to the promised land? Moses is dead, and you're telling me that you'll be with me as you're with Moses? I'm not too sure about that. But anyways, so God started to instruct Joshua and about how he's going to become successful and prosperous. So I love this verse. Let's go to verse 8. If you have your Bibles, or we have it here for you. Sorry, am I in the way? Okay, move on to here. So it says, "This book of law," God says, so this is God's personal instruction to Joshua. It says, "This book of law should not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will become successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I'm nervous too. That's why I'm drinking water. It's dry. So, thank you. You're going to make Pastor Bruce jealous. So I want to take 3 points that God made to Joshua. So first thing he said is this. He said, if you do these 3 things, you will make your way prosperous and you become successful. Not everyone is going to follow Jesus or be with Jesus when they leave their earthly bodies, right? And it's not because Jesus didn't die for them. It's because they didn't choose Jesus. The scripture talks very clearly that Jesus died for everyone and wants everyone to be saved, but not everyone is going to be saved. Same with this verse, that we have our parts to become successful, to become prosperous. We have our part to be with Jesus, and that is to choose Jesus. So you and I have a part of becoming successful. And God said to Joshua, if you do these 3 things, You will make your way prosperous and you'll be successful. First, the law of God should be in your mouth. That means you need to read it. Secondly, you need to meditate on it day and night. Think about the word. And third, everything you talk about, you need to do. It means doing. You read God's word, you talk about God's word, meditate on it, and whatever you say, you do it. You need to take the law of God, meditate on it, and you need to do it whatever He says. If you do these three things, Joshua, you will become prosperous and you will be successful. And by the way, Joshua, this is how we're going to measure success. It's not about you. It's about other people. You have to take the people to the promised land, to the land that I promised them. This is how I'm going to measure your success. In other words, your success is not measured by what you do. It's about how successful other people are. The Israelites, can they go to the promised land? That's how I measure your success. So if you bring these people into the promised land, then you'll be successful. Do you think this is kind of the same with discipleship? It's not about what we do. It's about how we do for other people. And then to see them successful and how they can make disciples of others. So we don't have to focus so much about us. If we can think about others, then I feel like sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves. Do we say it right? Do we do one-to-one right? Do we say anything wrong? Like verse 8, the last sentence is, God is with you wherever you go. I don't think God is saying to Joshua, like making Joshua like robot, I'm saying east, you go east. He said, wherever you go, I'll be with you, meaning whatever decision you make, I'll be with you. And if you're a believer, God is with you. So that means whenever you're doing discipleship, say whatever the Holy Spirit leads me. And God is going to be with you. God is the one changing people's heart, not us. Amen. There you go. I benefit someone. Thank you. So three things God said to Joshua. One, take the law of God and put it in your mouth. Second, meditate on it all the time. And whatever you talk about it, do it. You know, the word meditation is not like a Buddhism meditation, you know, like the whole time. What are you doing? I'm emptying my mind. Meditation is not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind with God's word. And how many of you know that there is something about saying positive things over yourself? Saying positive things can encourage you. And imagine saying God's word over yourself. How powerful that would be, right? Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evidence to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, be prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and a God of peace will be with you. How many of you would like to live in peace? Five people, okay. I'm not saying you're not going to have any problems in your life. I'm saying whenever you have a problem, there's a peace in you. And Jesus, look, He slept in the storm. How did He do that? There's a peace in Him because He is the creator of the universe. He can say peace to the storm and be still. And did He say that He give us authority as well? I don't know, think about that. How do you live in peace? How do you do it? You talk about what God says. You think about what God says, and you do what God says. Another thing is what we say really matters. Our words, the Bible, the Proverbs talks about life and death are in the power of our tongue. Some of you guys know Abigail's story, how we stay in the hospital for two weeks before I went to America for her surgery. And it was dark moments, but Ann and I just, every single day we woke up, we say to each other, we're gonna speak life over Abigail. Before we went to bed, we say, we're gonna see her tomorrow. We're gonna hear her heartbeat tomorrow. And second birth is the same, Amelia. You know, Ann has type 1 diabetes. So for type 1 diabetes, the babies usually grow bigger. So the doctors, we saw three doctors in this pregnancy because none of the doctors can tell us when the due date is. And I'm like, are you a doctor? Like, aren't you supposed to tell me when the due date is so I can book the postpartum center, I can make my plans? None of that. They first told me it's August 31st, and then they say September 14th, and then the due date, you know, was finalized on August 16th. And so finally we know the due date, but we're like, okay, should we go for a C-section or should we have a natural birth? Because for big babies, if you want to deliver naturally, it's usually pretty difficult for the mom. It's pretty dangerous. And so we had no idea. And the doctor was like, you can try, but we're not sure if C-section is an option. We're like, just tell us what to do, you know? And how do you live in peace in that? We keep telling ourselves when we went home, just like, look, God's got us. We don't care which doctor tells what. And that's pray. That's God's got this daughter. This is a miracle baby. You know, every baby is a miracle. So God's going to take care of this baby better than the doctors or us. So let's go in. If C-section on that day is finalized, go for a C-section. By the way, one thing about if you're trying to have a baby in Taiwan, the father is not supposed to be in the surgical room. Do you know that? Yeah, shocking, right? Because Abigail was born in America. I was there to watch the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing. I try not to watch a certain part, but I was there to cut the umbilical cord. So when I told our doctor in Taiwan, I said, oh, so I'm going to be there and cut the cord. He said, no, you're not going to be there. I said, what? I'm not going to be there for my wife? I don't even know if she's going to have a C-section or natural birth. He said, no, by Taiwanese law, like the hospital regulation, if you go to a private one, you can do it. The public ones, like NTU or Makai, that's where Amelia was born, you're not supposed to be in the room. So I was like anxiously waiting, like, what's going on inside? But then I just feel like this verse came to me. God is with me. God is with me. God's peace is with me. Like, God has got this. I want to read James 3. James 3, it says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is like, it's a small part of the body, but it takes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of devil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one life on fire, and it's itself set on fire by hell. Think about this. He's saying a big ship is so huge, but a small rudder directs it the direction of the ship. Even in a storm, the rudder directs where the ship goes. And it's the same with our tongue. If we don't control our tongue, if we don't use our tongue carefully, our life just goes, hello, 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 hello. If we don't use our tongue carefully, our life just goes wherever the wind blows. If we use our tongue carefully, if we say things that is encouraging to others, to build others up, then we're in the right course. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know about you. Growing up, I always think I will say whatever is on my mind. And how many of you know that's not a good advice? So now I'm more reserved. Many of you guys know that I am pretty direct. I say what's in my mind, and if it's wrong, I'm going to say it's wrong. And then, you know, the staff meeting, sometimes we have some disagreements, and I'll say something, you know, of course it's not right. And Pastor Bruce would just look at me and smile and look at me like, are you really that stupid? Like, maybe he's not thinking about that. I'm just saying, like, Pastor Bruce will always tell us, find something encouraging to the team. Find something encouraging to people. Find something encouraging to say. Because if you want to say negative things, anybody can do that. And what does negative things to the body of Christ? It only creates division. Maybe not a body of Christ only, but try to do that in your family. Try to do it husband and wife. Try to disagree with everybody, you know, each and every day, and we'll see how unity you get. Always trying to find something positive to say about your spouse, about your kids, about your coworkers, about anything. And that's what this Bible is talking about. Whatever is right, noble, admirable, right, pure, think about those things and talk about those things. If we use our tongue wisely like a rudder of a ship, what you say determines where your life goes. And this is your tongue, this is my tongue. So how do I live in peace? Talk about God's word, thinking about God's word, but doing his word. How do I live in peace? I watch my tongue. I think about what's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. So if you look at the book of Joshua, how do we have a heart like a champion? Like Joshua, when his personal mentor died, Moses died before entering Promised Land, and God told Joshua, you take 2 million people into the Promised Land. The book of Numbers, chapter 26, it says, there were 601,730 family men ready to enter the Promised Land, suggesting a total population at least 2.5 million, including women and children. Think about that and put yourself in Joshua's shoes. It took Joshua 40 years before he led people into the Promised Land. And I promise you that in those 40 years, there were disagreements. There were disagreements, there are gossips, disobedience, fights. And how do you lead with peace? If you read the entire book of Joshua, you will find out some of the stuff God told Joshua to do was weird. Right? The Jericho, circle Jericho 6 times, and the seventh day, you circle it 7 times. I don't know about you, if I were with Joshua, I'd be like, what is this? You heard it wrong. I don't want to agree with you, Joshua. That's stupid. But what is God saying to us? Watch our tongue, right? And another thing that's kind of funny, it's God told Joshua to make some knives out of flint to circumcise Israelites. I don't know about you, but how many of you guys will be like, Joshua, great word, I'll be the first one to line up. I will probably run away, like, no, you heard it wrong. But then, Joshua did it with God's help. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Another thing I want to talk about is, so that story kind of reminds me of in Taiwan, every man has to serve in the army. So I was in the army for 1 year and 4 months, and I knew I was going to the army, so I'm like, I want to do the best thing. I want to do the most dangerous thing. And that's just my nature. So I volunteered to become a paratrooper. Thank you. That was fun. Five free jumps. I don't have to pay for. I wanted to be a frogman, but you know, I wear glasses. I'm not a good swimmer, so they eliminate me the first phase. Like, what are you doing? You wear glasses. So sorry, next one. So I wanted to become a paratrooper. I jump out of planes 5 times, and one of my brothers over here, he served with me, Jeffrey. So first thing in the army, he said to you is like, forget about who you are. I said, what do you mean? He says, you're not Mark Chen anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're Mark Chen, but you're Mark Chen of Taiwanese army. That means whatever you say doesn't matter. Whatever I say matters. Sounds scary, right? Army teaches me how to obey. Do you know how important that is for me at workplace, in family as well? I obey my wife sometimes. Sometimes it does not make any sense. I'll give you an example. Not in the family, in the army. So before we go out to eat, in the morning you wake up 3 kilometers, you do some whatever, jumping jacks, whatever, that's fine. But what bothers me is like you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, no, please. Wake up super tired, and then you're so excited about your meal. And then by the time you want to get to your meal, everybody line up, turn left. You've seen that in the movie, right? And then they tell you to drop. And you know, I was a new guy. I saw everybody dropped, and I dropped. They said, okay, 50 push-ups. I'm like, why? I just want to go to my meal. Can we just like go to the meal? No, 50 push-ups. And after 50 push-ups, we stand up, 100 jumping jacks. And then, so you have your chopsticks, and you have your ball, and you're just doing jumping jacks. And after that, sit. You have to do sit-up for 60 times. So if you finish all that, you can go to a cafeteria and eat. By the time you finish, it's already a nap time. So nobody gets to eat. And during the first 3 months of that, you know, we barely showered, we barely slept, we barely eat. But I feel like the army taught me that, look, stop thinking about me. It's not about me anymore. It's about the group. You know, when you go to war, if you look at the book of Joshua, how many people he killed before going to the promised land? How much unity that needs? If everyone has their opinions. I'm not saying God is making a robot. I'm saying, have you ever had a time that God told you something, you're like, no, that's not right? I have, sorry. being vulnerable in front of holy people. But at the end, God is right. I'm not saying everything is smooth when you say yes to God, but God is always right. And then when you follow God, he said he will make your ways prosperous and you become successful. Does that make sense? So I hope that we all want to live in peace. I hope that we're people that when we come to God's word, that we'll say, yes, Lord. Even though you may say 100 times before you actually do it. But at the end, you say, yes. Yes, God, whatever you said, I will do it. Amen? Can we all stand and pray? Oh, my wife is online. Glad I didn't say anything stupid. Let's pray. God, I ask you that that today, as you're speaking to us, I ask that you will hear our hearts. I know some of us, our hearts are so hard that we don't really hear you clearly anymore, because our mind is so filled with the world, and we want to be closer to you and hear your voice clearly. We want to follow you clearly and closely. Not that you're 100 yards away. We want to be side by side with you. God, I pray that the peace of God that transcends and surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness for the wrong thoughts that we had or have, and not taming our tongues. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will teach us how to obey by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we'll learn to speak a blessing over ourselves and people among us. May we be the people of pure hearts and clean hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.